We use ESV at First Presbyterian Church, so that's convenient. Proverbs chapter 3 is found on page 671. I'm just going to be reading verses 5 and 6 and then making references over into 2 Corinthians. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're our God and we're your people. And so we ask that you would open your word to us this day, that we could learn wonderful things from it that would stick to our ribs and go with us into life. And we pray in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Solomon writes a number of things in this book. Most of this is attributed to Solomon, and Solomon is known for his wisdom. As we look at this, it's meant to help us be wise in every area, every facet of our life. So Solomon writes in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to go to sleep at night. And sometimes my days are so full, and I've had so many things going on that my mind is still running on, and I'm trying to get to sleep. Now, I'm pretty habitual. I found good sleep starts around 10 o'clock at night for me. So, you know, just about no matter what the consequence of what's going on in the house, I'd be just happy to tell you to leave about 9:45. Just get out of the house because I'm going to bed. And that's what I do. But, you know, I get into bed and I lay my head down and all of a sudden the day starts playing itself back. Some good, some bad. Some things that are in my mind are way on out there. Some things are way back there. And yet it all comes up in my mind. I'm wondering about myself. Am I doing the right thing? Am I living the right way? Am I being a good witness? Have I failed today? Have I said things, hurt people with what I've said and done? And you can get like that. Well, the Lord wants you to think about him in times like that. And this verse I memorized really very young in life. I was being discipled by a navigator in South Florida, and this man gave us a series of verses on little cards, and you take them and you memorize them. And this is one that I memorized very early on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. This is Solomon's wisdom. It's wisdom to be passed down. The book of Proverbs is meant for a parent to teach to a child, or a more mature Christian to give to a less mature Christian. It's training in righteousness, and that's what we see here in these words of Solomon. Now, the promise is, very simply, the Lord will lead your life. That's a promise. And we see that this world in which we live in, we really do need the Lord to lead our lives, because this is a very complicated world and a very complicated life that we have. But he made a promise then. His promise still stands. The Lord will give you leadership in all your life. But the call upon us is to trust the Lord and trust the Lord with all our heart. Now, you look at this passage and you think, okay, what would it be meaning if this was contemporary with this man Solomon? He's just written these words. Somehow they've gotten out into the faith community of Israel. And so maybe Solomon is still living. Maybe he's passed on. But it's pretty close to Solomon's time when these words are out there. So what would it mean? Well, you might say, well, Solomon was a man who understood the history of the nation of Israel, and so he understood that Abraham was the father of the faithful. What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Well, here's this guy, Abraham. You know, he was a pagan, and then God at Ur of the Chaldees called him, and when he called him, he left his country, and he moved up to a place called Haran. And some certain things happened there, and he had Sarah as a wife, and he and Lot, and they were called by God, and they went down into what we call the Promised Land, into Judea, and they moved down there. Well, a famine came in the land, and so they decided, well, we're going to go to Egypt. And they went to Egypt for a short period of time. Famine was over, and God led him back into the Palestine again. And you see, well, you can kind of see what it means, can't you? The Lord led this man, Abraham, one step at a time. And that's what we want. We want to be led through life in the same way that Abraham was led through life. But when we look at Abraham and trust the Lord with all our heart, well, I don't think so. You remember those times when people thought his wife was a good-looking woman? You remember what he said? Hey, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Now, I don't know how you wives would think about that, but I don't think that would go over too well. He obviously wasn't trusting the Lord with all his heart then. You know, he did it twice. There are other failures of this man, this great man, Abraham, who really is an example. He's the father of the faithful. That's who he is. Well, you go to Moses. Moses was a great leader. If you look in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, it begins talking about Moses. It says, Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Here's a man that was faithful. And you see how he led God's people, for led them out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness. But again, yes, he trusted in the Lord. But you remember that time God said to him, you know, the people are saying there's no water. Go speak to that rock, and the water will come out of the rock. But Moses, I bet you none of you have ever gotten angry, right? You are just always on task, never out of control. Moses wasn't on task that day. He was out of control, and he took his rod, and he hit the rock that God said speak to. The water gushed out. But there were consequences of that rebellious action. But you see, he was a very faithful man. King David was a faithful man. You know, this man was known as the man after God's own heart. And yet, we see all of his faithfulness and we see his shortcomings and his failures with Bathsheba and child rearing and things such as that. So you have three people here, the father of the faithful, the servant of God, and the man after God's own heart. Maybe that's what Solomon was thinking about. But he could have been thinking about the great promises that were made to him. God had made promises to his father about the son, Solomon, and he said, I will be a father to him, and he will be a child to me. I mean, you think if God said that to your father about you, he will be a son to me, I will be a father to him. That's pretty strong language. That was spoken by God to David concerning Solomon. Now, these are all wonderful things. You know, if you get to Hebrews chapter 11, what do you see? A roll call of all the faithful that have gone before us in the Old Testament. These are people that trusted in the Lord with all their heart. And certainly they didn't perfectly go through life not leaning on their own understanding, but they serve us as a great example. But then we come to the New Testament, and what do we have? Well, the whole effort of John in writing the Gospel of John, his entire effort is to make it very clear to us that the Lord Jesus followed this verse perfectly. He actually fulfilled this verse in all its perfections. He would go out and he would pray and he would seek to know what the Father's will was. The Pharisees would challenge him about what he was doing, and what would Jesus say to them? I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. All my goal is just truly to do my Father's will. That's what Jesus is telling the people constantly about himself. John records this for us so that we can see it. Here is one who trusted in the Lord with all his heart, never leaned on his own understanding, always acknowledged God in all his ways, and God did direct the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely perfectly. And we see him. He is the true object of our faith. You know, we could look at these examples in the Old Testament, and we would be looking, as it were, in a mirror dimly. we would see sort of what it meant for those people to follow the Lord. But when we look into the life of Christ, we see what that means face to face. We see exactly what it means to follow the Lord with all our heart. And that's what we need to see. Now, what is this, again, what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all our heart? What does that mean for us today? Well, if we take a look at another verse, just a very short verse. So if you want to write this down, but you can remember it. You don't even need to write it down. I've tried to make these sermons as simple as I can, so this will be easy. It's the last verse in 2 Corinthians. You can always find it. The last verse in 2 Corinthians. And here's benediction. What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Today, as a Christian, it means to trust in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is going to be with us now and forever. What does it mean for you to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Look, all of us like sheep have gone astray, every one of us to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does it mean to trust in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? It means that we truly do believe that the Lord has taken all of my sin, all of it, and laid it on Christ and punished him in my place. That he took my place on that cross. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for me means that my sin has been taken absolutely and totally away now and forever. Trust in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what else does it mean? It means that every aspect of the Lord's record, his doing all things well, his trusting in the Lord in every way, his never sinning, his speaking the right things, doing the right things, serving his Father perfectly, all of that righteousness has been given to me and put to my account. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin became sin, that through him I might become the righteousness of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, my sins taken away, but I have a righteous standing with the Father. We could say, well, you know who we need to say it with, don't you? What's this year? 500 years ago, it was what? What year? 1517. What happened that year? Martin Luther, 500 years ago, this October 31st, nailed his theses to the castle church door on the basis that we are justified by trusting in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. And when we trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have good ground beneath our feet. But then, too, trusting in the Lord with all our heart means trusting in the love of God the Father. Are you loving? Are you lovely? Are you lovable? You know, sometimes we have trouble with that, don't we? I'm not always so lovable. Sam's already warned you, he doesn't want me to tell you any junk. Boy, he's taking a risk bringing me down here, you know. The love of God the Father's never like that. You can constantly trust the love of God the Father. The love of God the Father is going to do nothing but good to you. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. And he sent his Son to take away, to be the propitiation for our sin. The Father's love that rests upon you. The Father's love that surrounds you. The Father's love that goes before you. The Father's love that comes behind you. You're constantly surrounded in this reality that God is love, and in him there is no darkness at all. We need to know that. We live in a world that is without a great deal of love We talk about love in some type of a humanistic manner, but we don't talk about a love that not only accepts us, but perfects us. A love that won't let us just remain the way we are, but a love that's going to create in us new life that's going to change us from one degree of glory to another. When we say we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we trust that God's love is with us and will never, ever forsake us. We trust in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We trust that the Holy Spirit, He who began a good work in you, will never stop until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began this work is going to complete it. He's in us and He is working in us. He is accomplishing things in us. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit is to accomplish in us everything that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. Everything that Jesus has accomplished for us, the Holy Spirit is in the midst of working in your life to accomplish those things in you. And He's never going to stop. He who began this work will not stop until it's completed, until the day of Christ Jesus. That's the promise. Your life is secure. Your life is strong in the Lord. And the goal for us is to be people who know the Lord, trust in the Lord, and we just move ahead all through our life in the Lord. Now, you know, here is this word, trust in the Lord. It's a command. It's a great encouragement. It's meant to be for us great advice, but it takes action. You have to begin to think of how you're going to trust in the Lord. Now, let's just say we're in a laboratory. And let's just say we've got little scientific instruments here. And one of them is a long tube, clear, Pyrex glass. Make it about 2 inches across. Make it about a foot deep. It's got little marks of increments on it. Some of them are in red, some of them are in black. We got this tube. Now, your goal is to get the air out of that tube. How are you going to get that air out of that tube? You know how you can do it? Real simply? By pouring water in it. If you pour water into that tube, the water goes to the bottom, and as the water comes up, the air goes out. How do you get your worldly thinking out of your life? Well, I go to sleep often with these words on my mind. I'm going to sleep tonight, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. I can't fix what I broke. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I know there's going to be demands. Some of them are greater than my capacity. But I'm not going to be afraid because I'm going to trust in the Lord. The Lord's led me that I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to trust in Him with all my heart. And I think of this. What does it mean, Lord, that Your grace is with me? What does it mean, Heavenly Father, that Your love is with me? What does it mean, Holy Spirit, that Your fellowship is with me? I need these things, and I'm going to trust in these things, and I go to sleep. Often I get up thinking about these words. Often I'm driving places to, I mean, you heard about talking about these elderly people, and I deal with this all the time, and I have to be there for them, and I have to think, Lord, You've got to be with me as I minister to this person. You're going to have tough assignments, children. You're going to grow. How can you know that you can grow in a very testy, difficult world? By trusting the Lord with all your heart. That's why it's in the book of Proverbs. It's for you to grow into these things day by day. Don't lean on your own understanding. What does that mean? Simply, just very simply, you see all the things that's spoken here that you don't want to do in life. If you'll read the book of Proverbs, it'll have one thing after another that is displeasing to the Lord. And you'll find maybe some of them seem exciting. Maybe some of those things are alluring. Maybe some of those things hold a promise. But if the Lord says they're not for the believer, they're not for you. That's just that simple. You remember how Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man, then it says, does not, remember, does not stand in the path of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scornful, doesn't do these things. In other words, you find your company with the people of the Lord, and the Lord's people will be with you in that fellowship. But here, it's don't lean on your own understanding. Here's another way it's said in the New Testament. Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says this. If you've been raised up with Christ, if you're a Christian, keep seeking the things above. And then he says, this is where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So if you're a Christian, keep seeking. The idea is that you might get off track and not be seeking at the moment. But the idea that Paul has, what do you do when you find that's true? You just return. You just return to seeking the things above where Christ is. Now, it's important that you begin well. And so Paul goes on and says, set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the things above. Almost no life is well lived apart from intention. Do you intend to seek the Lord? Do you intend to set your mind on the things above? It requires an action on your part that you do this. You start setting and keeping your mind on the things above. But then very negatively it comes in, don't set your mind on the things that are on earth. Don't do that. It's this very same language that we're seeing here. Don't follow your own understanding. Don't seek the things that are on earth. Don't do that. We need to follow this admonition. You see, Abraham said, I don't have a child, and my wife's old, so I'll take up with Hagar. Don't make that mistake. Moses was told, speak to the rock. He struck the rock. He was angry. Turn away from anger. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech. Lay these things aside. David had God's word. He was promised all these things. But then he took. You see, he took something. He took Bathsheba. That was his fatal flaw. He took something that wasn't his. You know, it's the things of earth. And he set his mind on them. And it led him astray. It took him captive. No, Paul says here, keep seeking. Keep seeking. If you get off the path of seeking the things above, the simple thing is return. Return to the path. Just go back to it. That's what Paul is encouraging us to do. Again, there's this picture of displacement. We set our mind on the things that are above, and in doing that, we will not seek the things that are on earth. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How does this become sensible today? How does it become sensible that in all our ways we're going to acknowledge the Lord? Let me just ask you this question. Have you ever been snubbed? Remember those times? Remember some time when you were going someplace with somebody or into a group of people, and it wasn't long before you figured out there were people there that were very carefully and very intently doing everything they could to keep you far away from them. They just didn't want you there. They didn't want you near them. You ever been just dismissed? Sometimes the children today, a few years ago, they used the word dissed. You know, you were dissed. Yeah. The problem is, we've done it. What we would never want done to us, we've done to others. Acknowledging the Lord is the very opposite of this. It's wanting the Lord with us. I want the Lord with me wherever I go. That's what you should want. And when you go into a situation, you know again that He's going before you. And you just say, Lord, I'm going into this difficult situation. Be with me. That's acknowledging Him. When you come out of a difficult situation and you know that He's been with you and saw you through it, that you say, thank you, Lord, for being with me in this difficult situation. You promised you would. I prayed that you would, and you were. And I thank you for being with me. And you encourage other people. When you tell them, you share with them how the Lord went with you step by step in whatever that problem is. You know, I don't know about Sam, but I know about me. I know how many times I'm looking around to see somebody that looks like their preschool. I'm not sure, is there any preschoolers here? I was preschool the very first time I remember that the Lord kept me from being killed. But I can remember it just as clear as a bell. I walked up to the railroad tracks at the end of my four houses up from my house. Two railroad tracks, one southbound nearest my side, one northbound on the other side of that track. So I thought, well, you know what I'll do? This would be fun. I know how trains work. I'll just walk up there with this passenger train and stand right there, right by the tracks. I figure I was about from here to the end of the stage, from the tracks. And I was looking up as a little child as these train cars went by with passengers in them. What do you think they were thinking? You know what I thought would even be cooler? I did. I thought what would really be cool is as soon as this train goes by, I'll take a step out into the middle of the track. And I did. But you know what I didn't know? There was a northbound train going by. And it hadn't gotten to me yet. I took one step into the middle of that track and whoa! Yeah. That's just the first time. Now I'm telling you, what did the Lord do? He saved my life. And if you'll think about it, you need to acknowledge all the ways that the Lord has spared you for a purpose. The last thing we want to see is there's the promise here. The Lord Jesus will direct your paths. This is God's promise to you. Abraham messed up royally. God continued to use him to where he bears this title, the Father of the Faithful. Peter, you remember? The mighty Peter. And then he says three times, I tell you, I never knew the man. And the Lord gently took care of him and restored him and sent him on his way. These verses aren't for the perfect. These verses are for us that are going to fail. that we could get back on our feet, trusting in the Lord with all our heart, that He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, and that He is going to take us across the finish line. Do you remember how disappointed Mary and Martha were that Jesus had not come in time to heal their brother? Remember that? Disappointed with God. How many of us have felt in some way disappointed with the way God's dealt with us? And yet God did not leave you, and He is sustaining you. And what is He doing? He's doing what He did for Mary and Martha. He is restoring to you beyond your wildest imaginations, because He's going to be with you. This is what it means, that He will direct your paths. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to see to it that you cross the finish line in His mercy, and that you should never have any doubt about that ultimate outcome in your life. Trusting in the Lord means trusting in the love of God the Father. Your life can flourish. Your life should flourish. Your life will flourish as you flourish in the love of one who loves you more than you could ever imagine. And then there's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I saw the children up here in the midst of a worship service. You see that we sang together. We've confessed our faith together. We've had the word preached to us together. We're going to go in a few minutes and we're going to eat together. And all of this is the fellowship that is God's love that will not let us go and is going to be with us. Do you need something? Look around. I'm almost guaranteeing you that the people that are in this room have the ability to help you with whatever your need is, because it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in you and you and you and you and you working to make my life better and to make other lives better. This is what it means. We learn to trust. We trust a little today. We learn to trust a little more tomorrow. We learn to trust in the little things, and we're ready for trust in the big things. And then what we find is this: our mouths open, and we want to tell others about the trust that we have in the Lord that will not let us go. Let's pray together. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, You're our God. And again, we are Your people through Christ our Lord. And so we ask that You would enable us to understand these things over and over again in fresh ways and new ways. And that when we are down, we will look to others, and the others will come alongside us and lift us up, that we can stand together all the days of our life until Christ comes or until He takes us home. And we pray in His name with thanksgiving. Amen.